Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It's strange how a place can feel alive, how the walls of a house can seem to watch, how the air in certain rooms grows heavy with secrets. Maybe it's our minds playing tricks on us, or maybe sometimes it's something else. In tonight's story, we step into the world of a young girl named Brittany and her family. They moved into what should have been a fresh start, a fixer-upper with charm and promise. But from the very beginning, something felt off. Voices that no one else could hear, faces that appeared in the darkness, and an unsettling discovery years later about the house's past all lead us to question, did this family live among memories left behind? Or did something reach out to them from the other side? The events you're about to hear are unsettling not because of what was seen, but because of what was felt. The way the ordinary became strange, the way the house itself seemed to hold its breath. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, when I was 5 years old, my family moved into a house we nicknamed Buckingham Palace. It wasn't much of a palace, though. It was an old place in a quiet neighborhood with overgrown grass and a slightly worn-down exterior. But my parents saw potential. They bought it as a fresh start, their first real home together. I remember my dad painting the smallest bedroom just for me. He decorated the pink walls with little hearts and a mural of our family dog, Mickey. Above the light switch, he even wrote, 'Brit's Room.' It was adorable. A little slice of childhood magic. At first, the house felt like any other, full of the smells of fresh paint and the chaos of unpacking. But looking back now, I think we all felt something was different. It started small. My parents found piles of unopened mail addressed to kids who had lived there before us. One day, my mom handed me a subscription book of stamps she'd found. 'Here, honey, looks like the kids before you left these behind,' she said. I remember flipping through the stamps and wondering why anyone would leave behind something so fun. My dad said, 'The realtor told me the family just couldn't live here anymore.' He shrugged it off, but that phrase stuck with me. 'Couldn't live here? Why not?' At first, I blamed my own imagination. I was the kind of kid who believed my dolls had tea parties behind closed doors or that shadows were monsters waiting to pounce. But Buckingham Palace brought a different kind of fear. It wasn't wild or playful. It was quiet, persistent, like it was watching. One afternoon, I was playing dress-up in my room, pretending to be Snow White. I was brushing my hair, humming to myself, when I heard it for the first time. 'Brittany?' I froze. It wasn't my mom or dad. It wasn't anyone I recognized. The voice was soft, almost sing-song, like it was teasing me. 'Brittany,' it called again. I stood up, heart pounding, and looked around my room. No one was there. The voice came a third time, louder, sharper. 'Brittany!' I ran out of the room, leaving my costume and toys scattered on the floor. I found my mom in her room and camped out on her floor for the rest of the day. When I told her what I'd heard, she laughed it off. 'Maybe it was a neighbor calling for their kid,' she said. But it wasn't. I knew it wasn't. As time went on, the voice became a regular visitor. It always sounded like a woman calling my name in that same strange tone. I'd hear it when I was playing, when I was lying in bed, even when I was outside. My parents always dismissed it, telling me I had an overactive imagination. Maybe I did, but it didn't feel imaginary. It felt real. Then came the night I saw the face. I'd been waiting for my mom to come home from work. Her shifts were late, and sometimes I'd stay up just to say goodnight to her. But that night I fell asleep before she got home. I woke suddenly, not because of a sound, but because of a feeling. Something was there. When I opened my eyes, I didn't see my room. I saw her face. It was huge, like someone had taken a photograph of my mom's eyes and nose and blown it up to fill my entire field of vision. Her features were calm, almost smiling, but something about it was wrong. It wasn't my mom, it was just her face, staring at me. I blinked, hoping it would go away. It didn't. I wasn't scared, not exactly. There was something oddly soothing about it. But it stayed there, unmoving, as if waiting for me to do something. Eventually, I fell back asleep. When I told my mom about it the next day, she shook her head. "You must have been dreaming," she said. "You've got a big imagination, Britt." Maybe she was right. But after that night, I started to dread going to bed. The voice followed me everywhere. I'd hear it in the middle of the day, whispering my name when no one else was around. Mickey, our dog, started acting strange, too. He'd bark at corners of my room or refuse to go near the basement. My parents thought he was just being a dog, but I wasn't so sure. And then there was the toy. I had this veterinarian Barbie set that came with a plastic dog and cat. They were my favorite toys for a while, and I kept them in a box in my closet. One night, I had a dream about the little cat. It had glowing red eyes and walked out of my room almost robotic, like it had a mind of its own. When I woke up, I thought it was just another silly nightmare until I went to the box. The cat was gone. I searched everywhere. I tore apart my closet, my drawers, even the basement. It wasn't there. I asked my mom if she'd seen it, but she said no. That toy disappeared without a trace, and I never found it again. By the time we moved out, I was relieved. The voice had grown quieter and the strange events had slowed, but the house still felt heavy, like it didn't want us there. When we finally moved out, I thought I could leave it all behind. The whispers, the strange dreams, the things that went missing. I tried to convince myself they were just my imagination. But even years later, Buckingham Palace kept finding its way back into my mind. I didn't think much about it until my senior year of high school. My dad and I were driving somewhere, just the two of us. We were reminiscing about old times, and I decided to tell him about all the strange things I'd experienced in that house. And I told him about the voice, the face, and the missing toy cat. I laughed about how scared I'd been, and he laughed too, calling me Britt the Spooky Kid. But then, out of nowhere, his expression changed. His laughter stopped. "Do you remember your old bedroom?" he asked me. "Of course," I said. "Why?" For a moment, he didn't say anything. Then he sighed, gripping the steering wheel a little tighter. "Well, don't get me wrong. I don't think our house was haunted or anything," he said carefully, as if he didn't quite believe his own words. "But there's something I never told you or your mom. I guess now's as good a time as any." He paused, and my stomach dropped. I could tell he was trying to figure out how to say something he didn't want to say. "The realtor told me that the people who lived there before us didn't just leave. The husband came home one day and found his wife in your room." I felt a chill run down my spine. "Found her?" I asked, barely able to speak. "She'd taken her own life," he said, staring straight ahead. "Right there, in what became your bedroom, the smallest room in the house." "I didn't know what to say," my dad went on, explaining how the family had left almost immediately after her death. They couldn't bear to stay there, so they abandoned the house, leaving behind their belongings. That was why the mail kept coming, why toys and clothes, as him, were still tucked away in the closets when we moved in. "I didn't tell you or your mom because I didn't want to scare you," he said. "I figured it was better to let it go. But now, I don't know. Maybe you were picking up on something I didn't." For the rest of the ride, we were quiet. My mind raced with everything I'd experienced in that house, the voice calling my name, the face in the dark, the missing cat. Was it her? The woman who couldn't stay? Even now, I don't know, but after that conversation, I started dreaming about Buckingham Palace again. In the dreams, I'm back in my old room. The walls are pink, covered in hearts and drawings of Mickey. The voice is there too, but this time it's not calling my name, and it's whispering something else. At first, I couldn't make it out, but the dreams kept coming, and eventually, I heard it clearly. "Don't forget me," the voice says, over and over. I've spent years wondering what it all meant. Was it a ghost? A memory of something tragic left behind? Or was it all just my imagination, shaped by things I didn't even know at the time? Whatever it was, I still can't shake the feeling that Buckingham Palace didn't want to let us go. And sometimes, late at night, I still hear that voice. "Brittany?" or maybe don't forget me. I'll never know for sure. Thank you for taking the time to read this and for having such a great show. Sincerely, Brittany. Stories like Brittany's remind us of the fragile boundary between the rational and the inexplicable. On one side, we have the comforting certainty of logic, echoes of childhood imagination, the psychological toll of an unsettling revelation, and the way our minds stitch together fears into a tapestry of the unknown. On the other, we confront the possibility that some places, some moments, carry more than just memories. The voice Brittany heard, the face she saw, the toy that vanished, these could be explained as coincidence or an overactive imagination. But what if they weren't? What if the tragedy that took place in that room left an imprint, a presence tethered to the walls that once enclosed it? Psychologists might argue that Brittany, as a young child, picked up on subtle emotional cues from her parents, the weight of the house's untold history, and shaped them into something tangible. Perhaps the face she saw was a half-dreaming hallucination, and the missing toy was nothing more than a misplaced object. But then there's the other explanation, the one that keeps us awake at night. What if the woman who took her life in that room never truly left? What if her sadness, her voice, remained? Brittany didn't just hear a voice, she heard her voice. It called out, it lingered, and it asked not to be forgotten. Could it be that the house, Buckingham Palace, was trying to tell its story? Or perhaps it was the spirit of a lonely soul, tethered to the place where she drew her last breath, reaching out in the only way she knew how. In the end, Brittany moved on, but the house stayed behind, holding its secrets in its quiet corners and shadowed rooms. Maybe it's still there, waiting for its next visitor. What do you think? Was this simply the imagination of a creative child? Or was Brittany truly a witness to the lingering echoes of a life cut short? Whatever the answer, stories like these leave us with one undeniable truth. Some places feel alive for a reason. Until next time, keep asking questions, and remember, not all mysteries are meant to be solved.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.